Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Wednesday. You know what that means. We play the camel to begin the show, and we bring in a couple of other guys to do grand counsel with me at the 4 p.m. hour. So I will tell you the brand new thing here is the grand counsel every Wednesday brought to you by DeKalb MD, which is healthcare simplified. And I'll tell you more about DeKalb MD here in a few minutes. But right now, let me go ahead and just call the roll of the grand counsel from 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN up yonder in Huntsville, also riding with Yellowhammer News, also has a TV gig and a whole bunch of other stuff. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh, but I got a question for you, sir.
What's that?
We all getting paid now? What's up?
From FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile. And then, oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Jeff Ro Poor. Are you here? Is he still here? Did we lose Jeff?
You know what? I think he's calling back. Let me get over it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting paid now.
Yeah, no. I got you covered, man. All right. Is Jeff coming back in? Let's see if we can get him on. Jeff. Is that Jeff? Jeff. I'm going to keep talking because apparently that's what I do when the producer's talking on the phone over there. All right. Is that him? Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
I'm glad of it. All right. I pronounce a quorum. The Grand Council. Kick it off.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ta-da. All right, first question, round one. Dale Jackson, I'm going with you first because you sound rather saucy today. Go for it.
I am rather saucy today, actually. Look, I like everything that these guys are doing in government right now. They are kicking back and they're blocking all sorts of grants. But look, we've seen this before. Talk of blocking money for sanctuary cities and things like that. Will that be challenged in court and will they win?
Can it be challenged in court? Anything can be challenged initially, but I don't think that they're going to wind up prevailing on it. I think right now, the awarding of grants is an award. It comes to you not because of the fact that you exist. It becomes because the grantee and the grantor have an agreement. And right now, the grantor can say, I don't think you do. So I think they have a chance. At the very least, here's the thing. Fighting in court, how long will that even take? I mean, it could take 6 months to a year for them to be able to get back to payments, even if they could. So I think this is going to wind up being a strategy that has some effect, at least on some of those communities. Jeff?
Or would they put a stay on some of this behavior? I don't know. I think it'll be challenged in court. But what's kind of brilliant about the whole Trump strategy is that they are overwhelming the system. They weren't ready for this.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back at 17, it was like, okay, we try a travel ban, and then it sort of stopped there. Now it's just they're just throwing everything at them, and they're not prepared for this.
Oh yeah, the press hadn't slept in like 2 weeks. I guess I can't keep up. But I don't know. What do you think, Dale? Is it going to prevail? It's your question.
I think Jeff nailed it. I was going to try to be smart, just like Jeff was, and say, well, they'll probably put a stay on it, and that's how they'll stop it, and they'll drag it out for 2 years like they did like the DACA stuff, like they did the travel ban and all these other things. I think that's what they're going to try to do.
That's what I just said. I said it a different way. But
exactly I know. I was trying to set you up to look
good. All right, next question. Let me ask you this. Jeff, I know you're down in Montgomery right now, but I don't know if y'all watched the Governor Ivey's State of the State. I watched part of it this morning on replay, and I'll be honest, she looked – I thought she looked extremely tired. She, of course, made it through her speech and all that, but one thing that caught my attention that I think was a subliminal jab at the things we've been saying in this Grand Council, she said, I look forward to serving for the next 2 years. And I thought it was interesting. I've never heard her have to label. I mean, why would she say that unless she's trying to clear the air on something? And she said, I'm staying here for the next 2 years, basically. Was that intentional? Was that designed to correct the Grand Council? Dale, what do you think?
Is this where they get her? Have we nailed her? Is this where we're going to run her out? I don't think so. I think this is the same stuff we've been hearing and talking about for almost 8 years now, it seems. She's right around the corner from getting out of there. I just don't see it.
But I think she was putting it. I'll tell you what. Let me go to Jeff first. Jeff, your thoughts.
Well, let me read you a line from the speech last night.
Yeah.
Quote: in Alabama politics, we don't exactly follow the rule of never asking a lady her age. And that's okay. So while we're on my age, I will share one of its many benefits. Meemaw will tell you exactly like it is. That's correct until the very, very end. She says she will tell you like it is because she's not telling anybody like it is because she doesn't take questions from anybody. I think there were several subliminal jabs in there. I don't know about if it was specifically at this program, but, there's a lot of people out there asking, like, where the hell's the governor right now?
Well, I think that her speechwriters knew they had to address this rumor that the guy sitting behind her on the dais, Will Ainsworth, wasn't going to walk across the street and become the governor next week. She literally says, I intend to serve the state for the next 2 years or something to that effect. And there's no other reason to say that. You're elected for four. Why would anybody question it? The fact that you have to clarify it means that you're dancing to the tune of the people who've been wondering what your deal is and whether you can sustain the operation for the next two more years. So I really think she was responding to the things that we've been saying, that the 1819's been publishing about questions about her health, well-being, and whether she'll continue. So, good on us. We stirred up some quotes from the State of the State address. Jeff, next question. What do you got?
So, kind of being in the State House today, one of the things guys, I know I asked this a couple of weeks ago, but I got to run it out there again. Like, they're seriously thinking about not extending this overtime tax exemption, I think, to their own detriment, to their own peril. We have Anthony Daniels, who's going to be on the tax-cutting side, and Republicans are going to give us the hubbada-hubbada. What do you think of that? I mean, I think it's a risky move, especially in this political environment with Donald Trump doing what he's doing.
It's absolutely risky. Right now, the op-ed that I had come out in your periodical in 1819 on Monday, my question is, why would you not? All the things they could do right now, they have the wind at their back. There is no reason to do anything less than the conservative things they say they stand for when every time they run for office. I mean, they'll talk about all their conservative bona fides, and then they'll get in there and say, oh, we apparently gave you back too much of your money, so we think we may have to do away with that tax cut we just put in last year. I don't know if it'd be political suicide. I think for a few of them, though, it would definitely draw a primary. Dale?
Well, it all depends. I mean, they're kind of trying to game this out, right? And the game says basically, no, we're not doing away with it. We're putting it in somewhere, another place. We're thinking about a sales tax. Now, lowering the sales tax. Now, I'll tell you what I think that is. I think that's their way of saying, well, we were going to do this, but we just couldn't get it done. Guess it expires. And that's, I think, how it's going to play out.
Well, the fact, though, that they're looking at this as Republicans who call themselves conservatives and tout their conservatives credence or street cred, and they're going to say, yeah, you know, we just feel like we took too big a whack at giving you your money back, people. We need to reclaim some of that. How do you polish that turd?
Well, Senator, the ETF, the education budget, is $9.3 billion.
With a B.
Billion dollars. The education budget is three times the general fund budget, and the general fund they spend three times as much on education as they do everything else combined in this state. You can't find $200 million to extend this overtime, an annual $200 million to extend this overtime tax exemption. I find that ludicrous.
It's absolutely ludicrous, especially when you consider that Trump is talking about other payroll cuts, like wages and tips kind of cuts. There's no way that's a good plan, and they better rethink it. Because right now they're in a budget surplus with all things paid for, and they've got reserve accounts on both the education and general fund budgets. And if they can't find that $200 million like you're talking about, which is they got that much money in the couch cushions in Montgomery, then they need to go find another job. That's all there is to it. All right, I got to call it right there. We're going to take a break. That's round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, who is in the State House right now from 1819 News and FM Talk 106.5, and Dale Jackson up yonder in Huntsville at WVNN, also with Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Round two, first question, Dale Jackson, what you got?
Our illustrious governor did not mention gambling in the State of the Union, but Garland Gudger kind of gave it a passing glance and said, hey, you know, maybe we could, maybe it's on the table, maybe it's not. It's kind of just kind of dangling it out there. Is that for us or is that for somebody else?
Jeff, you're down there right now. I'll let you go first. What are you hearing about gambling?
Nothing. It's not happening. They don't have the votes in the Senate. The Gregory Eads seat is going to go to Matt Woods. He's going to be a no. Are they able to flip Albritton? Maybe. But then they got to flip a Lance Bell or Chris Elliott. I don't see the votes there. They're not going to go on it. Let's say absolutely or sure they have the votes. Yeah, I think it's dead this session. It just doesn't have any energy.
Well, I would agree with that. I'm not hearing anything behind the scenes that says there's a fight brewing.
Why do people keep talking about it?
Because people keep talking about it.
But you got nothing else to talk about.
Because, I mean, yeah, because Dale brought it up. I don't know.
Gudger brought it up. Take it up with him.
That's the bottom line.
The media in this state don't know what to ask lawmakers at the state level because they're stupid and they go to gambling during the fall.
I feel personally attacked.
And because it does, because it comes up every friggin' year. I mean, it's the zombie legislation. It just does. I'm glad it's not, because maybe we'll actually get some of these good low-hanging fruit kind of red meat bills done while they have the opportunity. All right, speaking of which, let me ask you this. My question is, Tennessee just yesterday, after coming out of their special session and passing school choice, which, you know, we've done too, but Tennessee yesterday just passed illegal immigration reform at the state level, which includes sanctuary city stuff and everything. It's going to the governor's desk. Is Alabama going to follow suit and have illegal immigration dealt with again, like we did back in 2011, here at the state level? Dale?
Yeah, I think they're gonna make a move on that. I think they're gonna do something because it's low hanging fruit. That's simple. That's a no brainer. Get out there and do that. That is a very simple thing to get into, and get a good win there. Yeah, why not?
I say why not, but. You know what? There's a lot of things I say why not about them, and I see them just not happen. So I there's no better time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Jeff, your thoughts. Again, what are you hearing down there in the halls of the State House? Are they going to do illegal immigration?
Well, they had a committee hearing today. There were lots of protesters over this issue. But, yeah, there's certain things a state can do. I mean, you can't conduct business in the state of Alabama using illegal documents. They can make it really, really hard for illegal immigrants to operate in the state, and maybe some of that can be a deterrent. But there are some lawmakers, Senator, who are like, the hell with it. Let's go back to HB 56.
Yeah.
We have the federal judiciary now that is more, you know, with all these Trump appointees, and you have an attorney general who's not, you know, just a placeholder instead of Luther Strange having Steve Marshall, who might defend it a lot better. So why not take a shot at it?
Yeah, I completely agree. And for those who don't remember, HB 56 was the Beeson-Hammond Act that we passed in 2011. That was, I mean, we got protested to the nth degree, and it was probably one of the most active pieces of legislation I saw while I was down there. And then got picked apart by the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all the rest of them. I think it's an entirely different time, like you said. I think the judiciary, the public sentiment, all of it says, now, go back and put as much of it back in place as you can. So I think they will do something. I think they almost have to be honest with you. Otherwise, people are going to be screaming. Last question, round two. Jeff, what you got?
Talk to me about Gaza. What do you make of it? I've formulated some ideas over the day, but nation building I didn't have on my Trump bingo card.
Yeah, you know, I saw that too, and I've heard it already called Gazalago, which is interesting. But I don't think it's going to happen that way. I can see where Trump could be willing to provide some of the billions and 4-8 it'll take to rebuild that place, but there's going to be stringers attached to it. I don't project that we're going to wind up, you know, creating a Trump casino on the beach, you know, looking out into the Red Sea. But I will say this. Trump is one of those outside-the-box guys who loves to rebuild. I mean, Mar-a-Lago was a derelict place that was been abandoned until he got it for a song and made it into a jewel. So this is what he does. He grabs pieces of property and he restores them, and I think he's taking that into his foreign policy right now. Dale?
Viva Gaz Vegas. that's what we're talking about, and let's go ahead and make that happen. I think this is just a Donald Trump had an idea situation, and he said it out loud. It's a negotiating tactic. I like it. I like how he's talking about this. Something's got to be done there. He's throwing down the gauntlet, scaring a lot of people, and maybe they'll be more willing to make a deal. And look, that's his whole thing right now, right? I'm crazy. I might do it. And like, that's sort of his whole thing, and why not run with it? I like this idea.
Well, Jeff, it's your own question. You finish it off. What do you got?
So we have a Jerusalem bureau, and talking to those guys, they think it is just a negotiating tactic. It's a bluff, but it's this: like, what does the Arab world think of a U.S. presence in Gaza? It would be a disaster, right? The problem they've had, though, it's just that these Arab nations do not want any buy-in. They don't want to deal with this, and they're not taking refugees. And what they think it is it's sort of forcing Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and some of these other places to play a more of an active role. Because if they don't get in the game, well, the United States is going to get in the game, and that's probably not going to end well historically.
I would agree with that. I think I think you're going to watch Egypt suddenly have to open the gates on their southern border of Gaza and allow some more trade and all. Fellas, I'm going to leave it there. We got seconds before the music plays. Appreciate you both. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 1819 News, and he just reminded us of Breitbart. And then we got Dale Jackson up yonder at WVNN in Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also writes with Yellow Hammer and has a TV gig as well. Appreciate you both here on the Grand Council. And just little old me working here at Right Side Media. All right, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. And I'm going to tell you right now, you guys, the new sponsor for the Grand Council, DeKalb MD. When I get back to break, I got to tell you about them, because this is medicine done the way you haven't seen it before. If you haven't heard of this, I am proud to have them for a sponsor. Talk about outside the box, that is them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.